everybody. This is Pastor Brandon coming to you live from Siloam Springs, Arkansas, with another Fishers of Men video broadcast. It's good to be here this afternoon. I didn't have to work. I actually have 3 weeks worth of vacation. And I thought I might just kind of do my broadcast a little bit earlier today. And like I said, it's good to be here this afternoon. And it's just good to be just near, just having fellowship with brothers and sisters. And we're going to be taking a look today. This is Faith Part 7, taking a look, and the title of the message is Abraham Offered Isaac, and we're going to be taking a look at that today. We're going to be taking a look at the standpoint of how his works actually exemplified his faith. In other words, we're going to be taking a look at how your actions speak louder than words, and how Abraham's actions had, he did what he did because he had faith in God. Amen. So we're going to be taking a look at that today. And I got a lot of scripture to go through today. Please keep me in prayer. And actually, we're gonna be kind of doing this broadcast a little bit differently today. And the reason for it is because I'm going to be, hang on a second. I'm going to be kind of mentioning a couple things before I begin, and just kind of do some prayer requests and stuff like that. So I'm going to be doing things a little bit differently today. It will be kind of in the layout of the Pastor Brandon Live broadcast, but it's not a Pastor Brandon Live, it's a Fishers of Men. So, but today I wanted to do things a little bit differently, because today, let me kind of explain, so I want to explain a couple things here. For those of you that are watching, if you don't know my testimony and stuff of being born again, I'll probably do that in a different video, but in the long or the short of it is, it was around this time, 11 years ago, actually in the city that I live in now, and the state that I live in now, that I had given my life to the Lord Jesus Christ. I accepted him as my personal Lord and Savior, and it's been interesting. I can't say that my walk with the Lord has been all rosy and stuff. I've had my moments, and it was around this time, around this month, 11 years ago, that I had chose to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. And I got born again down in Arkansas while visiting my folks down here. And I never really thought or imagined, and I never really thought or wrapped my head around the reality of having to move down here and live down here 11 years later. But, you know, God is good. He is always good, and he's been merciful and kind. And I've been walking with the Lord for 11 years. I have learned quite a bit, learned a lot. I still have a lot more to learn, but I was born again. My spiritual birthday is in the month of December, and so that's been quite an honor. But here's what's even more interesting was 1 year ago, last year, on the 17th. I got baptized by my pastor, and I joined the church that I'm at now, and it was also in this month, 10 years of having to serve the Lord and walk with the Lord, and it was 10 years after I got born again that God had put me at a good Bible preaching church. I've gone through some good Bible preaching churches. But what I want to say is that it was 10 years after getting born again, I got baptized by immersion by my pastor. And that was actually, that probably would have been a year ago from yesterday, because actually a year ago was, it was on a Sunday. So, but today's Monday. So it was a year ago that I got baptized, and it was 11 years ago that I got born again. And so it, if you ever want to check out my testimony of actually being baptized, I do have that on sermon audio. I also do have that on YouTube. And you are more than welcome to watch that and stuff like that. I think it's important. It's baptism is very important. A believer's baptism is really important because it is a public profession. It is a public profession to all those around you that you have indeed been born again, and that you have made the choice to be crucified with Christ and then eventually resurrected into new life. And so baptism is very important. And if people who haven't been baptized that are born again, maybe that's something that you might want to research and find out what baptism means and be able to make that decision to be baptized. It's important to be baptized into a good Bible preaching church. And it's not, I'm not saying that you should, you know, I'm not saying that as per, as a works thing to where you have to be baptized to join a church. No, I did because, you know, I was baptized actually, I was actually infant baptized, which is not scriptural. I grew up as a Lutheran and it was infant baptized, but then I was baptized by a heretic. And my pastor had wanted me to be baptized to join the church, just purely out of the fact to be baptized in a body of believers, not a body of unbelievers. So that's where we're at. So I just wanted to mention that. I just thank God for these years that I've walked with Him so far. I know that the good Lord still has plans for my life, and that God has a lot of good things in store. I'm going to tell you something, though. As per one who has walked with the Lord for 11 years, that road is not easy. The road's not easy. And it can be very challenging. It's very challenging because the moment you become born again is when the devil will really get at you. And because when you're born again, and signed and sealed by the Holy Ghost, but once you become born again, the devil really gets at you because you pose a threat to the devil. So I'm going to tell you that the life of being born again is not an easy one. It's a challenging one, but take heart that the Lord is always with you. And for the fact that the Lord has been so gracious to me all the years that I've walked with Him, these past 11 years, the fact that He's been so gracious enough to put up with my nonsense and to bring me through trials in life, it's because of those trials that have made me into the man that I am today. And it's the trials that I've gone through that had actually matured me than when I first started. You know, and so there's actually a verse I want to share with you in those lines. Let's see here. It's what Paul says here, and I'm going to find it. Let's see if I can find it here. Okay, 1 Corinthians 13:11. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. And something I've noticed in my life is that there are things that, you know, I had my fear of chastening, and I still do. And I still fall short. And, but the thing is, of all the things I've been through in my life, and of all the things that, you know, of all the things that, I've went through and gone through and stuff like that, and all my chastening and correcting, it has definitely, you know, I see a little bit of a difference in me as to when I first began. I have a little wisdom, not a lot, but I do have a little. And by putting, but the thing is that, you know, as what Paul said, when I was a child, I speak as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. And that's what spiritual maturity will do to you. Spiritual maturity will actually have you put away childish things, and you start to be mature in the faith. You start to gain wisdom and experience through all the things that you've been through. And so anyways, I don't know why I said that. I just, maybe if there's some, maybe there's someone watching that, maybe there's someone watching that might take encouragement of that, for that. Amen. So anyways, I just wanted to mention that because I think that that's just really been a blessing to me. That's just been a blessing, and it's amazing what God has done in my life. And I know that God's not done with me yet, that he intends for me to be a witness, not just to my family, but to preach the gospel and to preach it as it is. And I am not ashamed of the cross of Christ. The cross of Jesus Christ died on that cross, on that tree, and he rose again on the third day. And there is power to that. There is power on a salvation for all those who would come and believe on him and what he did for you at the cross. Amen. Now, with that said, I do want to kind of get into some prayer requests here really quickly. I'm going to try to not go too long because I don't have much battery power on my iPad. But really quickly, let's get into some prayer requests. We got a sister. Pray for her, for strength for her and her mother. We have a fellow sister right now that's being spiritually attacked. We need to keep her in prayer. She's not feeling very well, but please pray for her and her father for salvation. Please pray for our fellow sister. Is actually in the she lives in the UK, I think, Great Britain, but pray for salvation for her family. And pray for me and my family. Pray for the ministry. Pray for these videos. Pray that God will take these videos and use them for his kingdom, for his glory, for his honor. Amen. And so with that said, I don't want to go too long, but I do want to get into today's message. I got a lot of scripture, and I got a lot of things to say, and I'm just going to just go word for word in my notes. I sort of designed my notes in such a way that it would be things that I would, you know, but if the Lord decides to put something, you know, I'm just going to mind the Holy Ghost and let him take over. Amen. Let's just, I want to mind the Holy Ghost. I want him to take these videos and do with them as he pleases, not as I will. Amen. So, right now, let's. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Hebrews 11, Hebrews chapter 11. We're gonna start in verse one. We're gonna start in verse 1, and we're gonna actually read all the way through verse 19. So we're gonna read through almost half the chapter. But I think as long as we continue on, I'm just going to read bits and parts of the verses that I'm going to be preaching out of. And again, today I'm going to be talking about Abraham and his faith and how he was obedient to offer his son up. And so we're going to be talking about that today. I'm going to be getting into the number 22 today and how that correlates to what has happened and like what Abraham did, okay? So let's begin. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Hebrews 11, chapter 11, verse 1. It says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him, for before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet moved, with fear prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whether he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, and as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who hath promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead. So many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore, innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is a heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall I see be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also received in him a figure." Okay? So, we're going to be talking about that section of Hebrews. Okay? And so, so that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about Abraham's faith. Amen? So, with that said, let's go ahead. And if you have your Bibles, turn with me to James chapter 2, verses 21 through 23. James 2, 21 through 23. It says, "Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. When Abraham offered up Isaac, this was a work, but his work demonstrated his faith." Here we go. I forgot to put a space there. Okay, so when Abraham offered Isaac, this was a work, but this work demonstrated his faith in God. In other words, he had faith in God because of his... hang on a second. He had faith in God, and because of his faith, his works showed that he had faith in God. Okay, so his works demonstrated. Okay, that kind of seemed a little confusing, so let me try to simplify this as best as possible. Okay, Abraham did works, and his works were all done by faith. And his works exemplified his faith in God. Okay, so let me ask you all a question. When you say that you have faith in God, does your works demonstrate your faith? Does the works that you do for others demonstrate your faith in God? Okay? Remember, your actions speak louder than words. For a born-again believer, just to have faith and no works, remember, faith without works is dead. Okay? This is why, as believers, we need to be careful at what we say, but more importantly, what we do. Our works and what we do need to reflect our faith. If they are not, we need to examine ourselves whether we be in the faith. That's what Paul said. Okay? So the question I have for you is, does your works reflect your faith? If not, that's something you might want to get settled. That's something you want to get settled as soon as possible. Okay? And when I say that, meaning, If your works do not reflect, then there's something wrong. Then there's probably something wrong that you might need to fix in your life. Because what we do needs to reflect our faith. Because if it doesn't, then we will be seen as hypocrites. We would be all talk and no action. Amen? So remember that. In James chapter 2, verses 14 through 20, it says, What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he had faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, Depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, Thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without works, and I will shew thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God. Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? So we see that James is saying that without faith, without works is dead. And I'm going to tell you something. The soul without the body is dead. Okay, so the same thing. Okay, so faith without works is dead. So, does your works exemplify your faith? Because let me tell you something. This is what Abraham did. And Jesus said that if you were the children of Abraham, you would have done the works of Abraham. You know, one of the things I believe is that the works of Abraham could be faith, because Abraham had faith. And because he had faith, his works reflected on that faith. Rahab, she lied. She outright deliberately lied, but she lied. Because she was trying to protect the two spies that Joshua sent. Okay? And we actually covered that in the first video. So if you... I want to encourage you to go back and watch that video. I can't remember what it was called, but it's the very first part of the series. So, I want to encourage you to go back and rewatch some of the videos that I've done on faith. Amen. So, but faith without works is dead. Okay. Now, we're going to examine and take a look at how by faith Abraham offered his only son, okay? And we're going to take a look at the prophetic picture that God is showing us as pertaining Jesus Christ on the cross, okay? Now, when we take a look at this, okay, you find that account in Genesis chapter 22, okay? That's going to be our reading. That's going to be our reading for today. But here's the thing. Okay, the number 22 is the number for light, but is also, you know, or is also a number for revelation. Okay, and why do I say that? Because in the book of Revelation there is 22 chapters. Okay, and in the book of Revelation you notice that God is revealing to us what has, is, and will happen. Even in our future. Okay? So revelation is really a revealing. Okay? It's really revealing. So God is revealing. So in Genesis 22, God is revealing to us his plan of salvation. And is it type or picture of what Jesus Christ was going to do on the cross. Okay? Now, Let's go to Genesis chapter 2. Let's go to Genesis chapter 22 verse 1. Genesis chapter 22 verse 1. Okay. Now, when we go through this, I want you to keep the number 22 in mind. 22 being the number for revelation. Okay? Revealing. Think of revealing, okay? Now, in Genesis 22 verse 1, it says, "And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am." Now I want to stop right there for a second. We have to understand that when God says he tempted Abraham, the word tempted means that he is going to be tried. In other words, God is testing his faith. And when we look up in Hebrews, you know, God shows us that Abraham was tried. Okay, let's go back to that verse. In verse 17, it says, "By faith Abraham, when he was tried." Okay, when he was tried. Abraham was tried. Okay, God was trying him and testing his faith. Okay. And we're going to see in the next verse here that Abraham, we're going to see what Abraham's test was. Now, like I said, I want you to keep 22, the number 22 in mind, being revelation, because God's going to reveal something to us. Excuse me, God's going to reveal something to us, okay? And God will always reveal things. God always reveals things through his scriptures. He will not do anything that's contrary to his word, okay? And in Genesis chapter 22, verse 2, okay? This is the test. Okay, this was what God had told Abraham to do. Okay, verse 2 it says, "And he said, Take now thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon the mountains which I will tell thee of." So we see here that God wants Abraham to offer his son up as a burnt offering upon a mountain that God would show him. Okay? Now, why is this prophetic? Why is this, what is God revealing here? Okay, why is this prophetic? Well, God is revealing his plan of salvation. God told Abraham to offer up his only son as a burnt offering. You want to know something? God, what did God do? God gave his only begotten son to die on a cross that we might be saved. Here, Abraham is a picture, a type or a picture of God the Father. Isaac is a type and picture of Jesus Christ. Okay? John chapter 3, verses 16 through 17. We all know we should. This is the most famous verse in the Bible. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. In 1 John 4:9, it says, and this was manifested of love. Manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Romans 5:8, but God commandeth his love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So as we see that Abraham is a type and picture of God the Father, okay, giving his only Son to die on the cross for our sins. And the good news is that Jesus Christ is not dead, but he is alive forevermore. And I'm going to tell you something. Jesus Christ is coming back for his church. He's coming back for his bride. Soon, he is. He's coming soon. And it's going to be sooner than we think. Okay? Genesis chapter 22, verses 3 through 5. Going back to Genesis now, it says, and Abraham rose up in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went into the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come to you again. Okay. Now as we continue to read, it's very interesting that Abraham says that we're going to go, you stay here with the donkey, and we're going to go up and we're going to worship. Okay. Now when you think of worshiping, I think we kind of think that it's singing. But worshiping is more than just singing. It's being obedient to what God has told you. Okay? And Matthew 15:9. Okay? But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Again, we see that again in Mark 7:7. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. And Colossians 2:23, which things have indeed a shoe of wisdom and will worship humility and neglecting of the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. Okay, so as we see that people do worship vain, okay, the people that Jesus were talking to were worshiping in vain because they were teaching the doctrines and commandments of men. Okay, but let me ask you a question. How much more can we worship God by being obedient, by teaching the doctrines and commandments of the Lord? If we teach the doctrines and commandments of the Lord, isn't that not obedience? So worship, and by then we are worshiping God. So can worship be a lot more than singing praises to God? Yes, is also obedience. Amen. Now, if I talk really fast, so I apologize. I got a lot of stuff to go into, and I don't. My battery power is about to, it's about 10%. So I'm going to kind of talk really fast here. Genesis 22:6-8. It says, and Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham, saying, Abraham his father, and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. Okay. So as we continue to read in verses 6 through 8, here's another nugget, okay, that God is revealing to us as per his plan of salvation. When Abraham and Isaac go up, he asks his father where the lamb for the burnt offering is. And it's interesting because God calls Abraham a prophet, and God is right in what he said. Okay, this is why. Because by faith and by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, Abraham prophesies to his son that God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. The lamb, that lamb that God will provide is his only begotten son, Jesus Christ. Amen. In John 1:29, it says, the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. John 1:36, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he said, behold, he saith, behold, the Lamb of God. Acts 8:32, the place of the scripture which he read was this, he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. What is that talking about? That's talking about Jesus Christ. When Jesus Christ was on trial, he didn't say a word. He kept quiet. Amen? Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God. Amen? God provided himself a lamb for a burnt offering. Amen? Isn't that should get us excited. That gets me excited. And 1 Peter 1:19-21, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifested in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, and raised him up from the dead, and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. In Revelation 5:6, it says, and I beheld, and lo, in the midst of a throne, and the four beasts, in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. Amen. That is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the Lamb. Amen. And now we're going to head back to Genesis 22 now. Genesis 22:9-13. And there came to the place which God had told him. And Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand, and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called on him out of heaven, and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. He said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, saying, thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked behind him, a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. Now there is a lot we can see here in verses 9-13, okay? When Abraham was going to slay his son, the Lord called on him, tell him not to lay a hand on the lad. We also see that through the works that Abraham displayed, he had faith in God. Remember, faith without works is dead. And Abraham was an excellent example. Okay? Abraham was an excellent example. What God was going to do to Isaac was the only... Okay, so hang on a second. Let's see here. And what God was going to do, because Isaac was the only son of Abraham, and God told him that Isaac was going to be the promised son. Okay? The promise was going to come through Isaac. Okay? Therefore, Abraham had such faith that he must have believed that God was going. He believed that God would raise him up again. And guess what? God did that for Jesus Christ. Amen. And Hebrews 11:17-19. By faith, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And that when he received the promises of offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, according accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence he received him in a figure. Okay? So we also see that God provided. So we see that Abraham considered that God would have raised him up. Okay? But we also see that God had provided a ram to offer up as a burnt offering instead of his son. Now remember, when Abraham did this, this was long before the law was ever given. And so everything that Abraham did was of faith. And we also see that this ram is another type or picture of Jesus Christ. Why? Why is this? Because, why is this? This is because the ram was a pure ram without spot, and Jesus Christ was pure and knew no sin. Okay? And Exodus 29:16-18, "And thou shalt slay the ram, and thou shalt take his blood and sprinkle it round about the altar. And thou shalt cut the ram in pieces, and wash the inwards of him and his legs, and put them into pieces, and unto his head. And thou shalt burn the whole ram upon the altar. It is a burnt offering unto the Lord. It is a sweet savor, an offering made by fire unto the Lord." Leviticus 5:18, "And he shall bring a ram without blemish out of the flock, what thy estimation for a trespass offering unto the priest, and the priest shall make an atonement for him concerning his ignorance wherein he erred, and wist it not, and it shall be forgiven him." Isaiah 53:5, "But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." Amen. 2 Corinthians 5:21, "For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Amen. Now, let's go. So we see that that ram is a type or picture of Jesus Christ. All the animal sacrifices in the Old Testament point to Christ for atonement of sin. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Amen. There has to be a shedding of blood. And by the way, Jesus Christ shed his blood once and for all. That whole payment has been paid in full. Amen. Now, Genesis 22:14-18. Okay. "And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. And the angel of the Lord called on Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is upon the seashore. And thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice." Remember, the Bible says all nations. It doesn't just say the nation of Israel. It doesn't just say a nation. It says all nations shall be blessed. Amen? And we see that Abraham's seed is both Jew or Gentile, anybody who believes on Jesus Christ. If you believe in Jesus Christ today, you are a child of Abraham. Amen. So as we have seen, Abraham in the works that he did exemplified the faith that he had in God. Okay, I'm going to wrap it up now. Okay, my question is: are you saved? I want to encourage you that if you're truly saved and born again and spirit-filled and God-fearing, you are a child of Abraham, and the promises of Abraham apply to you through Jesus Christ. Why is this? Because Jesus Christ is the only one that's perfect. He was the one that had the perfect works. And if he dwells within you, God does not take a look at you, but he takes a look at his son that he so loves. And by the way, if you're born again, you have been given the power to become sons of God. Amen? And so it is because of Jesus Christ and what he did for you at the cross that you inherit those promises of Abraham. Amen? It's only through Jesus Christ that you can get those promises of Abraham. Amen. So Jesus Christ is the only one that's perfect, and he is perfect. He's pure, and he has pure righteousness. Okay? His righteousness is pure. Our righteousness without Christ is as filthy rags. Even with, here's the thing, we don't do good. We can't do good because our righteousness is as filthy rags to God. If there's any good that you do, it is because of Jesus Christ. It's what he did, not what you did. Amen? So it is only through Jesus Christ that you can get the blessings of Abraham, because it is Jesus Christ that saves. Amen? Now, listen, okay? For those of you that are watching this that may not be saved, the good news is that you can know for sure that heaven will be your home when you die. Please do not wait to accept the Lord into your life, because if you do wait, tomorrow might be too late. Okay? In 2 Corinthians 6:2, really quickly, and we'll be done. For he saith, I have heard thee, and a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the time. The accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Okay? Today is the day of salvation. Tomorrow might be too late. Romans 13:11. And that knowing the time that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Okay? Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to wake up out of sleep. Okay? It's time today is the day for salvation. Like I said, tomorrow might be too late. Romans 10:10. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. John 3:3, Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And finally, Acts 4:12, Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Amen. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you need to come before him and sincerely confess your sin. Ask him to forgive you. Ask him to cleanse you and to wash you, to fill you with his Spirit, to put your faith and trust in him and what he did for you at the cross. Ask him to fill you with his Spirit, to forgive you of your sins, and to cleanse you and wash you. Whosoever shall confess with their mouth and believe in their heart shall be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you confess with your heart and believe in your heart, you'll be saved. Amen. So, listen, really quickly, and then we'll be done. Okay? I love you guys, and because I love you, I tell you the truth. But here's the thing. I don't want you taking my word for things. Amen. I want you to take with what I say and match it with this Bible. If what I say doesn't match, then let God be true and every man a liar. And if I'm wrong, then let God chasten and correct and rebuke me. And I'll also have to give an account for it when I go home. But if I am right, then I pray and ask that he will show you what I'm talking to you about. Amen. Listen, I know that was a lot of stuff to get by. I wanted to be sure to get this whole video put in because my battery was getting low, and I gotta do a better job next time making sure that this thing is more charged up than not charged. So please forgive me if I did speak really, really fast. But I really hope that this video was a blessing to you, and I hope that you got something out of it. Amen. But listen, please keep praying for me. Keep praying for this ministry, the video, my family. Pray that God will take these videos and have his way and will with these videos. But please pray for our sermon audio ministry, and pray that these videos will reach out to those that need to hear it. Amen. Listen, this is Pastor Brandon. I'm signing off for the evening. God bless you. I love you. Tomorrow, stay tuned for Pastor Brandon Live. Don't know what I'm going to preach yet, but I'll, pray for me on that. And if the good Lord willing, we'll be here tomorrow live. I love you guys. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow. God bless you guys. Love you. See you. Bye.